What's up, guys? It's Stevie and
Elizabeth
with the Ski or Die podcast. We're back stronger than ever, and we're here today for this episode. It's going to be a really fun one. We're going to recap Moomba, which Elizabeth skied in. Spoiler alert, she does pretty well.
It's crazy how we're doing an event recap in April about a March event. Normally we're doing in the summer.
I know. It seems like it's a long season when you start in March. It's incredible.
Oh my god, I know. We skied the Okehele 2 or 3 round tournament or whatever it was. And everybody was like, oh, it's my first term of the year. Like, I'm super nervous. And I was like, when you go to Moomba as your first term of the year, you're not nervous for anything after that.
Yeah.
I got my nerves out.
Well, I have some questions for you. It's going to be like an interview style because I did not ski in it. I wimped out and stayed home.
You didn't wimp out. You're just working through your skiing. I missed you, though.
I know. I missed you, too.
My parents came, though. That was really fun. Melbourne is such a cool city. You do not want to do it alone, though. It's like a city you want to share with people. And no, I totally respect your decision to stay home and like work on your skiing. Because Moomba's hard.
And work.
and work. To be a grown-up. But yeah, my parents got to come. That was really cool. They've been to Australia before. And yeah, I'm already taking over this interview. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. you're a hard charger. I'm used to it. So I have questions.
Okay.
So the first one I wanted to ask was, when you're gearing up and you're starting to convince yourself that you are going to go, you know, to Australia, that's a far ways away. And so you start thinking, hey, I'm going to ski Moomba this year. I think people start probably thinking that around maybe December or so.
Yeah.
Do you wait to see who's competing until you sign up?
No, I don't think you can. I don't think you can go about it that way and ski well. I think everybody's head game is different. So maybe that works for some people. Maybe it motivates some people. Maybe some people like to go when they think they've got an advantage, but by looking at the field. But I mean, I don't think that's the approach. This is my second Moomba ever in my career. So just kind of like backstory, I went in 2020, right before the pandemic started. I didn't enter until like 3 weeks before the event. It was just kind of like a snap decision. Chet was like, you're skiing really good, you should go to Moomba. And I was like, okay. And the plane ticket was only like $1,200 at the time, which was insane for being that close to the event. So I went, I got fifth.
This is your first time doing this?
First time, yeah. Really cool experience.
What year was this?
2020.
Right.
Fast forward to 2024, I finally go again, but this time I had made the decision much earlier. I mean, we were talking about both of us potentially going to Moomba back around Worlds in October even. We were kind of kicking the idea around. So
well, it takes planning, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're thinking about Europe. We've been thinking about Europe for months now.
Yeah. I mean, you have to buy your plane ticket early enough if you want to go and realistically go as responsibly as possible. So, yeah, you can look at the list all you want. It doesn't change. Moomba is a level playing field. It doesn't change anything. Who's going doesn't change anybody's odds because it's hard.
So did any of your sponsors help you out with the cost of going to Moomba?
No. This was a self-funded trip. Not a knock to any of my sponsors. I mean, I have like all the best. I have all the gear that I would, if I had to spend my own money right now, everything I'm on and have is what I would spend my own money on. So I'm really grateful for that. I have, I think, the best setup from head to toe. But no, I paid for it myself. Paid for the trip.
You with your PC answers.
It's the right answer.
So how much did the trip cost total?
My plane ticket was $1,400 and my hotel was $1,000. And then, you know, I paid for my bag, extra bag there, which was $100. And then on the way back, my parents actually, checked my second bag because they had a free bag. So I should have done that on the way there. Didn't realize that they weren't checking a bag. So, what does that put me at? $2,500 so far?
What was the flight?
$1,400.
$1,400. Yeah, so you're at $2,500. Before any, like, food or anything.
Yeah, before any food.
Taxis.
Yeah, a couple Ubers, which weren't too bad. I think two to and from the airport, it was probably like $70 each or less.
That sounds not that bad, honestly.
No, I think I made out pretty good.
When I was thinking about it, I was like, this is going to be like $7, but whatever, we'll move on.
It can be.
I think people are interested in those things, you know? Yeah. I think one ever talks about the sports costs, so it's kind of fun to bring it up.
If you, what did we find out it was to fly first class to Australia? Which I know some people do. Some people go to Moomba first class.
First class.
And it's like,
I ain't got that.
What was it?
I don't know. My freaking mortgage, probably.
I think it was like $8,000 one way. One way.
Yeah, that's not something I'm gonna be signing up for.
Well, I'm just saying, Moomba is as expensive. You can make it very expensive, or you cannot.
Kind of like Europe, like we did Europe, we did some frou-frou stuff.
Yeah.
That wasn't the bare minimum. There wasn't bare bones, but...
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, I would love to do a study of, if you looked at how everybody traveled, like, over many years to Moomba, is there a correlation to people who, like, fly first class and stay in nicer hotels with placements versus, like, not? I would love to look at all that data, but we don't have all that data and probably never will.
Oh, wow. I don't think there's that much of a correlation. I mean, but whatever. Yeah. So, for the travel experience... How was dealing with the jet lags? I know, like, when you first think about going to Australia, you're thinking, oh my god, it's like a 13-hour time difference or something insane like that.
It's 16 hours.
Is it really?
16 hours, yeah. 16 hours ahead. So again, there's two schools of thought on this. Some people try to start switching to that time zone while they're in the U.S. and, like, are really committed to, like, once they get there, they get on that schedule. Mm. Because my methodology, the two times I've gone, is to fly in, ski, and fly right out. I don't try to go somewhere and practice first because I just, that taking that much time off work is, it's a lot. You know, it takes 2 days to get there and takes 2 days to get home. And then you got 3 days of a tournament. So, I mean, you basically, a whole week is shot. My strategy was sleep when I'm tired. Wake up when it's time to ski. Sleep when you're tired. So if I want to sleep in the middle of the day, as long as it's not when I'm supposed to be skiing, I'm just going to sleep. But I ski better when I'm really well rested. So I felt no shame in, like, I'm going to go to bed early. I'm going to take a nap. Like, I'm going to do whatever. But if you're there to ski well, you have to sleep when you're tired and ski when it's your turn to ski. If you're there to experience Melbourne when businesses are open, then, yeah, you're going to try to get on that Melbourne schedule. But, you know, I go to ski good and then I'll enjoy what I can.
Right, and you weren't staying long, so
no.
It made no sense to, like, kill yourself to acclimate.
No.
Okay, so let's go into the skiing portion.
Yes.
So you show up, no practice.
No
in
practice.
In case anyone thought there was practice, there's no practice on the Yara.
It's my favorite thing, is people are like, why don't you go early and practice on the Yara? And I'm like, oh, you can't do that. And they're like, I bet they would offer practice if you asked. And I'm like...
No, there's, like, boats
no.
traveling and things like that.
It is a public waterway.
Yeah, just the whole infrastructure of the event is super interesting. So it's on a public river.
Yep.
They shut down the boat traffic in order to have the events.
For and they periods throw the courses of the day. In.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Like,
and then
the infrastructure.
They have to open it to transit during the tournament. So they have to take all the buoys out multiple times a day.
Right.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Anybody who complains about putting on an event and saying it's hard... has not put on Moomba.
Yeah. I can't imagine. Those guys are badass. So you're gearing up to do the prelim.
Yeah.
How are you feeling going into it? I mean, you've been skiing really well throughout the winter. I can say that with confidence. So you're feeling pretty confident, right?
Yeah. I had a really good off season. I didn't take any time off after Worlds. I know some people, everybody has, different schools of thought. Some people, like, especially after a Worlds year, take a month or 2 months off. I don't know. I just, after Worlds, I wanted to test some new skis that Chris had made for me, and I was trying to make the most of the water, like, being warm. And then as the water cooled off, I just kept skiing well. And when you're skiing well, it's fun. You don't want to not ski. So I kind of just kept skiing, and I knew that we were probably going to have some bad weather spells that would force me to take time off. So I think we had, like, a week here and there, like, where we didn't ski a lot, but I didn't plan, and I didn't take, like, 4 to 6 weeks off, 8 weeks off, like some people did. So yeah, I mean, skied right from Worlds all the way through until Moomba, and felt really good about how I had been skiing. I had a suspicion based on the junior scores that it wasn't skiing as good as it has. So here's the thing. Moomba can ski really, really well. Moomba can ski really, really bad. It's a river. It flows both ways because it's influenced by the tide. So the current can go one way or the other. The water can be high, the water can be low. And if the water is high, it hits the seawall differently, which means the roller pattern can be different. You can get wind funneled between the skyscrapers because it's in a city. And if you get enough wind going between enough buildings for a long enough runway, it gets really, really windy. Like, there's just so much about Moomba that you cannot practice for, and you don't know until you get there. You don't know what the river is going to be like. And I had a suspicion it wasn't going to feel as good as it did when I went in 2020. So it was really windy. It was really hot. They had a heat wave. It was over 100 degrees Fahrenheit all 3 days. So when you get that much of a temperature change, when it goes from 70 to 100, you get a lot of wind. And it was really windy, and it looked really rolly, and I had no idea how rolly it was until I actually got on the water, and I was like, oh my God, this is rollier than what you can see just from the sidewalk, which is right next to it. Yeah. So yeah, I had my suspicions that it was going to be harder than normal. And then once I got on the water, it was confirmed very quickly. I'm like, oh shit, this is hard this year. This, I'm about to take a beating.
Yeah, I mean, it looks pretty nasty just from the webcam. You know, when that's the case, it's usually really bad.
Yeah.
Because usually the webcam kind of like, I don't know what it does. It kind of shades it out. Sometimes it just looks nicer than it actually is.
Yeah.
So in the prelim, you run a 32 off start, which most of the ladies are running a 28 off start to kind of get their bearings, but you wanted to stick to your guns, what you've been doing in practice with a 32 off start, right?
Yeah.
How did you feel on the opening pass?
It felt hard. I, for a second in my opener, I was like, I am about to not run my opener. But I mean, still in hindsight, I still would have gone out at 32, which I did in the finals. That's what I've been doing. Mm-hmm. I don't know that a 28 off would have, a 14 meter start, I don't know that that would have helped me gain more rhythm on the river. It was so rolly and so choppy. I don't think another like longer line pass would have necessarily like helped me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I definitely, from the bridge end, so from the dock, when you pull out on that gate, there was so much chop at the top of the gate that you had no glide. The minute you stood up, you were stopped.
Yeah, from the bridge, everyone was having a double pull, and no one really pulled out. Because the worst thing you could do is to overrun a gate, especially when you're nervous in a new arena.
Yeah.
So everyone pulls out kind of like a little bit back from normal, and then it seemed like it was like, you were getting double punished because all of a sudden the chop was coming. There was no glide, and so everyone was just super narrow on that gate coming from the bridge. So that makes sense. Like that was your 32, though, and then coming back at 35 from the other end.
Yeah, which, I mean, completely different story. There was enough wind protection there that you weren't feeling the wind, and on that pullout for the gate, there was smooth enough water that you had some glide. So you're playing two completely different gates.
And the boat kind of whips you into the pullout.
Right, yeah, you have to be ready for that. It turns right, and you have to pull out. So you're playing two very different games. It might as well be two totally different, you know, lakes, courses at that point. And so, like, once I dropped in the water after my 32, I was like, okay, this is 35. I know this is going to be different from this end. I don't know what kind of different because, like I said, Moomba is different year to year. But you have to almost, like, you can't use any of the information you just gained. Mm-hmm. You know, that 32 was supposed to be me gathering information for a 38 start coming from that end.
Right.
So 35 was, like, clean slate, okay, now I need to learn, because if I run 38, okay, what's my 39 start going to be like, right? Like, that's how, just because of the venue, that's how you ski that. But yeah, we all know how that first 35 went.
Yeah, so you missed your 35 off.
Yep.
You scored, what, 4 or something?
I got 4, which put me in a 3-way tie for the last spot in.
Okay, so you made the final, though. So you squeaked into the final.
Yeah, and because of seeding, I got the higher seeding out of the 3 of us. So I was 3rd off the dock.
Okay.
But yeah, no. Barely.
So you got like the minimum score to get into the final.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like not what you wanted.
No.
So after that round ended, you were like probably thinking, oh my God, what just happened? I just felt terrible.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And everyone's had that moment where, like, you go into a tournament and you just get rocked in the first round, and you're like, how am I going to bounce back from this? I mean, every skier who's skied more than one tournament has felt that.
Yeah.
So talk me through how the next couple days, because you had a day in between of rest, right?
Right, because there was...
Talk me through, like, the mental situation that happened in the next 24 hours after that round.
Right, so another thing that was different about Moomba this year was that they eliminated that semifinal round. So it was just a prelim and a final, whereas when I went in 2020, it was three rounds. So, yeah, after I missed the 35, I... You know, the thing is about Moomba is you're going to have years you go that you ski really well, but you could also be the person who goes and misses their opener or falls through the gates or falls on their pullout. Like, anything goes at Moomba. So, you know, I was upset and I was like, oh, really? Like, all this for that? Like, I'm better than that. I know I can do better. I already know what I wanted. Like, give me one more shot. I'll run that 35, obviously. But I was like, maybe this just isn't my year. I'm going to have a bad Moomba at some point in my life. Maybe this is just, you know, the bad Moomba. Like, okay, learned something. It is what it is. My first year was great. In the prelims, I ran 3.5 at 38. I was second seed going into the semifinal. I ran, like, I think, what, 2 or 2.5 or 1.5 at 38 or something, and then I missed 35 in the final, but I still got fifth. You know, I was like, okay, maybe... I set my expectations too high for this one, even though 4 years later, I'm a better skier now, and I've done a lot more. You know, maybe this one just isn't my Moomba. So that's kind of how I was trying to see it in my mind, like immediately afterward, just trying to not get too upset. And I didn't feel devastated, but I was just like, wow, like, okay. You know, we did all this work, and I do believe the work was the right work, but it didn't pay off today. And you can't value yourself off of one round, even though it's the most expensive round in the world. You can't, you know, make a whole judgment about your athletic and ski ability based off of that one round. But that being said, you know, we had that day in between because there was no semifinal, and I was hanging out with my parents in Melbourne. I love Melbourne, like, by the way. Okay, so sidebar from, like, Moomba, Melbourne is an amazing city. The people are so nice. Unique thing, everybody dresses, like, very well. I live in Florida. We live in Florida. So, like, I feel like everybody dresses, like, very sexy, and everybody in Melbourne dresses very smart. Like, everybody just looks very, like, well put together. I don't know. It's just really refreshing. So really nice people. Melbourne water ski fans, Australian water ski fans are just like the best ski fans in the world. The kindest people. They remember the last time you saw them. Like, they remember every detail. It's just like the sweetest people. And they love water skiing. Like, they're hard workers and they truly just like love water skiing. And yeah, so that was really fun. And I love the culture. But my parents and I were in the mall because we needed some AC. It was so hot out. It was 105. I was like, hey, you guys, if you want to explore the city, go ahead. I can't be outside because I can't get this hot. I need to, like, stay fresh because I am in the finals somehow. My mom and I were shopping, and I was, like, going through clothing on the rack, and I just, like, felt all of the tears, like, come up in my chest. And I just, like, turned to my mom and I was like, I feel so defeated. And I just, like, the tears started rolling down my face. And she was like, oh my God, okay, we need to get out of the store. And kind of, like, had, like, a little, my parents and I convened in the middle of the mall. And, you know, they gave me a little pep talk. And it was like, you know, this doesn't define you. And you get to ski again. And, like, you know, either you try or you don't. You need to commit. But then it was actually you who I talked to who really gave me, like, my game plan for the finals. Do you remember giving me my game plan? Because you were pretty shit-faced.
yes, I do remember. It was a FaceTime call. And go through the adjustments that you decided to make for the second round.
Okay.
So after you collected yourself, after you had the emotions hit you of your kind of mini defeats in the first round.
Yeah.
Once you collected yourself, what was the next game plan? What was the strategic adjustment you wanted to make?
I forgot a whole piece of why I felt so defeated. the morning of the prelims, which would have been Friday evening in America, I got a phone call from a sponsor not in the ski industry that I was like negotiating with, and they let me know that we weren't going to get to work together this year, and they wanted to, because they were already into their 2024 sponsorship year, and they wanted to talk about 2025. Mm-hmm. And so like I'm about to leave the hotel to go to the prelims, and they're like, you know, it's not going to work out this year, let's talk about 2025. And so I was like bummed about that, but I was like trying to keep my head on straight, right? And then I skied so bad in the prelims, so I was like, wow, like it just felt like two losses, even though like it's really not a loss, it's just like bad timing on the sponsorship.
Yeah,
you know. And then Moomba is Moomba, so that was like why I was just like, oh
yeah,
what
one,
a
two,
day.
1-2 punch a little bit, yeah.
Like, what a day. No, but I called you, and you were like, you had just had dinner with your parents, and your parents are a good time, so I'm going to reenact how this phone call went.
Oh, boy.
I call Stevie, and I'm like, I don't know what to work on in the finals. Like, normally I have a game plan, but that felt so hard. Like, I don't know. And Stevie's like, listen to me. Listen to me. I rewatched all of Moomba. I rewatched the men's and I watched the women. I watched them both twice. And the people who ski well, they took more angle than everybody else. You need to just take angle. You take a lot of angle, you need to commit. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. But this makes sense. So my plan to translate from drunk Stevie was to take more angle. And
especially on the gate, I said.
On the gate, especially on the gate. You said take more angle on the gate. It's because if you watch your skiing back, you're gonna think you took enough angle, but everybody was wildly under angled and being extremely tentative. Yeah, and that was, I mean, I got fully committed to that plan, even though I was like, I didn't even have two full passes of like reconnaissance under my belt, you know? I mean, very scary situation to be in, honestly, as a skier.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I think you bounced back so well. So let's talk about the final.
Okay.
So I feel like the first pass, like automatically, you just looked so much better.
Yeah.
And right on that 13 meter pass, you pulled out and you took a lot of angle on that into that one ball. And I feel like it's really hard to do because it's so choppy.
Yeah.
And there's so much going on, and there's a lot at stake because it's the final, it's the last round. You know, it's do or die time. And you did so well. I feel like you took a ton of angle, and you attacked it, and you didn't back down. And it was awesome to watch. And I knew right after that 13-meter pass, I was like, oh, she's going to take it down. Like, it's going to be... I thought you were going to run in 39. Like, it was looking really good. But you ran your 13, you ran your 12.
Yeah.
So you got past the previous round.
Right.
You're like, okay, I already beat the previous round. I'm feeling good. So you're sitting at the bridge end, which like you ski through underneath the bridge, and then
yep.
you pull out, and you're about to take your 11. What's going through your head when you're at the end of the river there, about to take your 11 meter pass?
So, you know, I know who's coming after me on the dock, and I know like I know each of the skiers. I know their strengths. I know their weaknesses. I know around what score is probably going to put some pressure on who. You know, I know Whitney and Regina are going to run 38. So, like, running 38, okay, that's, like, a mandatory if you want to be in the Whitney-Regina conversation. If you want a podium, okay, I know, like, I knew around, like, a 4 was probably going to podium. That's, like, where my head was at. Because anybody can get 2 at 38 at Moomba. Like, if you get a decent enough gate, you can get to 2 ball. If you can keep your wits about you, you can get outside 3, but to really turn 3 off of the, I would say, worst gate end, because by 3, you're losing your rhythm. You didn't have a lot to start because there's so much chop on that gate. I mean, everybody saw I had to double pull out. So to get to turn 3 and have enough to get outside 4, okay, that's going to be hard for a lot of people to do. Like if you're not thinking of that, oh, and I probably should address, I think it was the 35. I totally leveraged the Moomba gate rule.
It was a 38 you did that.
Oh, it was 38? See, yeah. I don't even know. I just, like, emotionally black out during these tournaments. People are like, do you know you did this? And I'm like, no, I don't remember it whatsoever. So, back up, in the skiers meeting, there, you know, pro events they can run different rules than record tournaments. They reserve that right. Moomba is one of those tournaments where they do that. This is why I always say pro events are not record tournaments. And that's not like a diss to the quality of the event. It's just different rules. They can do literally whatever they want to us. So the Moomba rule, you just have to touch a gate buoy. Because the river's so deep, when the boat goes through the boat guides, the buoys swing inward and the gate actually gets more narrow. So it's not a true in-spec gate. So as long as you touch a gate buoy, inside, outside, whatever, the gates count. And I knew that I would be better to use the gate rule and not drift in any more than I already had because of that chop than to go down the middle of the gates, which wouldn't have changed anything. It would have just been a disadvantage from drifting in. Mm-hmm. So, definitely leverage the Moomba gate rule because I knew I could. It was something in the back of my mind. I was like, if you have to use that, use it. Why not? My goal was 4. I was sitting in the water. Okay, I ran the 35. Like, thank God. I ran 2 passes at Moomba. First time doing a 13-meter start at Moomba. So, like, in itself, like, that's, like, a win for me. That's, like, a new experience. But I knew 4 was probably going to podium because it was really windy. So something you probably didn't see on the webcast was it was really gusty. It was like upwards of 16 miles an hour right down the river. So depending on who was going to get a gust and when they were going to get it, you know, running a 38 was going to be hard. I did come to find out that I picked up a little bit of wing. And I think that's why I felt so slow. Like, I felt heavy. I think if I hadn't had that extra wing, I probably could have gotten a little further down 38, but that's always like a shoulda, coulda, woulda, right? I just hung in there. Like, I came out of 2, I was in a good spot. On my way into 3, I was like, do I stand up and get the full 3 or do I risk it and go for 4? And I'm like, well, you're a lefty and you have a good enough onside. You know, let's turn 3 and see if I can squeak outside 4. And I did. I mean, that was my plan at the end when I was on the other side of the bridge and stood up at 4 and took 4.
Yeah, and it was fantastic. I thought it was really good. I thought you had a wicked start. And thanks. I think if you had a little bit of a tighter line out of 2, you could have definitely run the pass. But I think you had a little bit of slack and then it put you down course, but then you got your 4 and you S-turned beautifully and it was like awesome. And so you had this early score and it kind of put the pressure on and, you know, you ended up having the score to beat until Whitney came. So you had a guaranteed 3rd until Whitney, you know, beat your score and then Regina followed up.
Right.
So you ended up with 3rd.
Yep.
3rd. So congrats.
Thank you.
Badass. Podium, Moomba. That's fabulous.
Yeah. I don't mind that situation of being earlier off the dock and knowing like how to put pressure on other skiers. That's fun. The downside to that is maybe the driver doesn't have time to get in rhythm if you're like first off the dock in the finals.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's Moomba. Like, what is rhythm? The drivers did a phenomenal job. I think anybody who can drive Moomba and drive elite skiers is a completely different level of elite driver. I just don't know anybody. Like, I don't think I could drive you at Moomba. It would be so hard and scary.
Yeah, it'd be tricky, for sure.
And the fact that the driving felt that good is really a testament, like, to that skill set, because that was the least of my concerns when I was out there. Our driver was super, super kind. He came up to me. He's like, anything you want me to do better in the finals? And I'm like, dude, you were the least of my problems in, like, the best way. Like, wouldn't change a thing there. I don't mind that situation. I would have liked to have been seated a little higher for my ego. But, I mean, what's an ego in the end of the day? Like, who really gives a shit about your ego, right? I ended up on the podium. I was really happy. It was my first podium since my crash at the beginning of 2022 when I got hurt. That year, my best placement was like, a 5th or a 6th at a handful of events. And then last year I got 4th at Bodice. That 4th was like my highest placement last year. So yeah, another podium finally.
Yeah. You started off the year right. And I think it was really awesome to see you bounce back from a tough round in the first, you know, preliminary round. That's really hard to do. So
I don't normally do that, actually. If you look at my scores, if you look at the data, usually my final score is equal to or worse than my best prelim score.
Well, I think that's the case for most people. Finals are more, you know, there's more nerves. And
yeah.
I think most people would say that their final score isn't going to be better than the prelim score.
Yeah.
And usually the prelims is two rounds, so.
But it's something you should aspire to, you know?
No, I mean, I thought that was great. I thought it was fantastic. So, congratulations to you.
Thank you. Well, and my parents got to be there, which was, like, really, really cool.
Cause,
yeah. Yeah, it was, like, that was a big... I mean, that's probably one of my... So far to date, that's one of my most special placements. Like, I know I won Miami, and it was in the tie and the head-to-head with Regina. Or the runoff with Regina, I mean. That's very special, sure. But I think... Given the prestige of Moomba, it's the largest international invitational in water skiing. And it's the longest standing professional water ski tournament in history.
Hmm.
And you travel so far. It's notoriously hard. And I love that. I just love that. I love how hard it is, you know.
Yeah.
Anybody can go to a pro event at a man-made lake where everything's perfect. And they put your driver in the seat and, like, run... tie their PB. It's like, well, yeah. But to go to Moomba, when you basically only... The probability of you losing everything is so much higher at Moomba. And so, like, I love that. Because it's like, okay, but what if?
Mm-hmm.
What if I can overcome it, you know? And, but I couldn't have done it without your... I watch all the video. Okay, what did you want? I went back. Listen to me.
You would have figured it out.
No. I mean, that was great. You had a game plan, and yeah, I just committed. I was like, okay, this is the plan. Sink or swim. Stevie saw what he saw, and I know Chet would agree with it. It's hard when you're 16 hours ahead. It's hard to communicate with everybody back home, you know?
Yeah,
you kind of feel like if my parents hadn't been there, I really would have just felt like I was on an island. Well, I was on an island, but, you know, I would have felt like, oh, God, I don't have anybody to talk to, you know? And all the other pro skiers that are there are nervous as shit, too.
Right.
Like, you're trying to talk to each other, and you, like, forget how to have a conversation. Like, do you like ice cream? I like ice cream. It's like, oh my God, like toddlers, you know? So, yeah, it was really cool. My parents got to be there, and then we got to go hang out in Melbourne, which is just this beautiful city, and the food is so good. Yeah, and did some really good shopping, and it was just...
And saw your Australian fans.
All my Australian fans. Oh my gosh, I love them so much. It's like such a shame that that country is so far away, because it'd be so fun to see more of them more often. But yeah, the best community. I don't know how the Victorian Water Ski Club makes that tournament happen every year. The infrastructure is insane. It puts American pro water ski tournaments, like, to shame. I know we have really nice lakes. I don't think physically I could endure, like, 10 Moombas a year, so I'll take our nice lakes. But, oh my God, the amount of entertainment and media and everything that they bring to that event is so, so special.
So it's subsidiary to the Moomba Festival, which is put on by the city of Melbourne, correct?
Yes. And people, like, fly in for Moomba to experience it. It's during their Labor Day weekend. So that Monday is a holiday, and that's why it's called Moomba Monday. It's very prestigious to get to ski on Moomba Monday. And I've skied two of them.
Well, and you'll ski a third next year, hopefully.
Fingers crossed. Are you going to come with me?
That's the plan as of now. But they know what they say.
But yeah, I actually, I think I broke even on that trip. Third place, I won 3,500 Australian, which I think came out to like 2,600 American. I'd have to do the conversion.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, probably like right around break even, which is all you can ask for. For an event that far away, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody skis to pay the bills, so...
No, it's awesome. It's so great, and yeah. And shout out to the Aussie Ski or Die fans, and...
Yeah, that was
and
cool.
And shout out to the ski club it was in on. Is it a Victorian ski club?
Victorian... I think it's like the Victorian Water Ski Association. Victoria Ski Club.
Well, big shout out to them, because it's badass. It's so cool.
It's a cool event.
It's cool to just watch. I can't wait to go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And once you go, it's crazy seeing it in person because on TV it looks so big. And in person, of course, it's big. It's a huge festival. There's like over 100,000 people there. And the shoreline is packed. But like when you're on the sidewalk, like up against the railing, the skiers are right there skiing. Mm. Like they're, it's, the river's not that wide, I guess is what I'm saying. Mm. So you, it's just like, oh my God, they're literally right there. And it's crazy because it's so big and it's so, you're so small at the same time. I don't know how to explain that.
Yeah. That's a weird feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's really special. I feel like my first couple pro events, I pulled out and I'm like, it's weird. It's weird. I feel like a weird, like you're just flying through the water and you're just like, where am I right now?
Yeah, yeah. You're like, okay, do I take it in? That's another thing that's hard about Moomba when you ski Moomba is you can't really look around and take it all in. Mm. It's different, right? You ski under a bridge. The fuck is that?
Yeah, you have to be hyper-focused because
you have
to perform.
The gates are coming, you know?
Yeah.
And there's skyscrapers. Looking at skyscrapers and you're like, want to look at them? It's like, no, oh my God, fuck the gates. Like, focus, focus. You know? And you want to look at all the people because we never have that many people watch us ski at tournaments. Mm-hmm. Usually they're watching the webcast only. Mm-hmm. But you can't look at the people, you know? So it's hard to take it all in and ski well. Yeah, I don't know. It's like when I skied the U.S. Masters. Like, I don't know what it was like. I was just trying to stand up my two runs, and I did, you know? But, like, the experience, I don't know. I know it's cool because, like, I, you know, you go back and you watch the webcast, and you, my parents, like, took a bunch of photos and videos and stuff, and, like, you learn how to take it all in, but while you're actually skiing, no. It is six buoys. I'm going to go left, and I'm going to go right, and I'm going to go left, and I'm going to go right.
Well, that's awesome. Great job.
Thank you.
Thanks for recapping the situation for us all.
Yeah, sorry it took so long, you guys.
It was cool.
It's been a... March was a crazy month for us. I got right back from Moomba, and then I had to fly to Baltimore for a work gala. And then I got back from that, and then we had, like, a tournament, like, that weekend or the next weekend. I don't know. It's just been crazy over here. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we moved into a new house.
Yeah.
That happened.
It's been crazy.
We love our new house.
All right, well, with that, we'll leave it. Thanks again, Elizabeth. Great job, third place, badass. We'll get even more placements next year, I'm sure.
Thanks, Stevie.
And thank you to the Ski or Die listeners. We love you guys, and we'll try and make more podcasts for y'all because I've had so much cool feedback. Like, everyone comes up to me and they say, hey, I'm loving your podcast. And I'm like, oh, shit. Every time I hear someone say that, I love it, but then I'm like, we need to make more.
I know. They're not hard to make, and we like doing it. I don't know. I guess. You're right. Every time somebody says something, I'm like, oh, wait, you guys actually like those?
Right, yeah, we forget that people listen to these.
Cool. Things. Okay, thanks. Yeah, you're right. I should do more of these.
Okay. All right, thanks, Elizabeth.
Thanks, Stevie. Thanks, you guys. All right, guys, episode's over. Thanks so much for listening, and if you want to rep the Ski or Die cause, head on over to skiordie.shop. See you next time.